Sometimes I wonder, I said, well, maybe the Lord, the reason I give you that many that you got, because you'd have to worry about having to spend a whole lot more money and trying to keep the other people happy. But I just want people to be happy in the Lord. If they're happy in the Lord, then I ain't got to worry about trying to keep them happy. Well, tonight, just for a minute or two, I want to look here in the book of Acts, and it's in chapter 1, and it's verses 1 through 11. I'm not going to read them all at one time, but I am going to read just a couple, two or three verses, and I'm going to explain on it. But I just want us to see some promises that we have as God's children. Now, we know that the writer of this book is Luke. He wrote the book of Luke. Now he started out in the writing of the book of Acts. But he didn't end it up. Paul ended up in the writing of the book of Acts. And it says, a former treatise have I made, O Theopompus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he has chosen. It's not talking about Luke that he chose the apostles. It's speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ chose the apostles. He chose the men, and he still chose the man of God today. Now, like I said here, I believe it was the other week or something, that is not but one calling. Some people says it's two. But I believe it's not but one calling in the Word of God, and that is to the pastor, to the preacher. That's a calling from God. Because, and with what I have experienced in my ministry and down through the years, is that I never have worried about any kind of pay. I've never worried about what the church could afford to give me. The only thing that I would tell the church is to do, you obey God, and God is going to take care of you. God's definitely going to take care of the man of God. I believe that with all my heart and all my soul, because I've seen it so many times. I've known of former preachers and pastors that have left churches that was making $400, $500, and $600 a week, but they'd end up leaving the church they was at, making that kind of money. In the church, being able to afford them and give them that kind of money, and then go off to the mountains or go off and take a smaller church for $50 a week or $50 a month. I've seen it. I've heard them testify to the fact, and they said that they never have had to worry about. And what that they had to look to. They didn't have to worry about what God will do. God always meets the needs. It's a good preacher friend of mine here in Danville. He was telling me one day that he said, I don't know what it was. He said, it was me. And I reckon I was just so distraught in everything about the way the things was going on within the church. And I had somebody that wasn't a member of the church. Matter of fact, he says, I don't even know if they've even visited church, but they know me. But he said one day, he says, he was out and he saw them. And he went and he shook the hand. And when he shook the hand, he noticed something that they put in his hand. He didn't look at it or nothing right then until he got in that car. The individual told him, I want you to use this on yourself. Don't use it on the church. I want you to use it on yourself. If you need to buy any books, you could buy books with it. But I would rather for you to use it for your own self. And he said, okay. He took it and he stuck it in his pocket. He got an automobile and he was going home. He took it out of his pocket. And he looked at it. And he said, when I took it out of my pocket and when I looked at it, I come so close. Brother Bill, like y'all was talking Wednesday night about me. He said, I come so close of running the car off of the highway, down in a ditch, because I could not believe it. And he said, these people, the individual that done that, don't have that kind of money. He said, I went and I spent it on myself. I went, and I had my automobile. I had it waxed, washed and waxed. He says, I never have asked God for one red penny. He hasn't. Matter of fact, we was going to his church at one time. And he didn't have no deacons because he said he didn't have no deacons because wasn't no one in the church qualified to be a deacon. He said because they was either married for the second time and had maybe a couple wives living. He said some of the people and some of the men in the church, they was not given like they need to. They was not going out and visiting. And he says, I do not think that they need to be in a leadership role as that. And this one individual, they have what they called a finance committee. Which, I mean, I can't say what really needs to be said as far as a fight for committees. But I don't think you need the committees, because there's not no committees in God's word. But this individual, he brought it up and he says, now, after the morning service, we're going to ask the preacher and his wife to leave the church. He said, well, we got some things that we needed to discuss. I didn't see where he had the right to even bring it up to discuss it. But he said that we have talked about it between us four, that we're going to give him a raise because he is due a raise. And he says, and he is worthy of that raise. And this is what he said. He come up here and he stood right up here. He said to the people, he says, how many of you will you vote on giving the pastor a raise? Well, naturally, some of the people, they raised a hand. I says, how much of a raise are you aiming to give him? I knew this individual. I knew him well. He said, we're going to give him a 10% raise. Over the year. I said, well, how much is it? Have y'all come up and figured out how much you're giving him a week? He said, we know. He said, but it's none of your business what we give him. It's none of y'all's business and what we give the pastor. And I said to myself, I said, you're wrong, bud. And I did speak out. And I says, now, you're wrong. You need to let us know how much you're aiming to give him. I knew that it wasn't that much. You know how much it ended up being with what he ended up giving him? It won't $20 a week. He went to the hospital. He visited. He went to Duke. He went to Greensboro. He went to Lynchburg. I mean, he has been as far away as almost to Roanoke to see people that were sick. But he says, you know, I'm not worried about it. He says, I'm not worried about it at all. I said, well, you need to take him off the finance committee. I said, because he don't need to be in any kind of leadership role that I see of right now. I says, I know he's trying to keep down the fund. I said, but the church has the money. And then you need more of a raise. And I'm not bringing this up tonight and hindering y'all or nothing. But I'm just telling you that there are people out here that looks to that. And it looks for that dollar bill. I can just about name you the preachers and the pastors within the city limits of Danville. That if the local church, if our church members come up and say it, if the deacons come up to him and told him, says, well, Pastor, you know it's been a kind of a rough year, says, we've had a whole lot of people that's out of work now, and says, I know the fund is still coming in, but it's not as heavy as it was used to be. So we're going to have to cut what we've been giving you out. We're going to have to cut it in half. But when we cut it in half, says,
It's not going to be the way you're going to continue to stay. Just as soon as our funds get back up where it was at, then we will give it back to you. I know a preacher's here in the city of Danville. I know some independent Baptist preachers that's in Danville, that's in North Carolina. I know some Southern Baptist preachers. I know some Pentecostal Holiness preachers. I know a bunch of preachers out here. If their congregation come up to them and told them that this coming Wednesday night at the normal business meeting night, they're going to have a business meeting and everything's going to get voted on and passed. But within the next week or two, the pastor be done send his resignation. He be done give it to somebody in the church. He said, well, I'm going to leave. I got something else. Ain't got nothing else. Ain't got another church lined up. I know of a preacher that used to pastor a local independent fundamental Baptist church. And the people there, they believe on the King James Bible. And this pastor, he left the church, and when he left, and he told them, he said, well, I got somewhere else I can go. Because they was going to have to cut their funds out because he was spending too much. But he left and went back to his home down in North Carolina. Not pastoring the church. Today, he's not pastoring. I've been in churches in the city of Danville and in the state of Virginia, in the state of North Carolina, where when I was looking to get back into pastoring, that I went and candidate for the church. You know the first thing that they would ask you? You know the first thing they would ask me? They didn't care if I saved, lost, or nothing. They didn't ask me that. They didn't ask me if I saved or not. You know what they want to know? They want to know where I went to cemetery at, or seminaries at. Well, individuals that wants to go to seminary, yes, they can go. I have no fault on that. But not only that, they will say, well, how much would it take for you to come here? I tell them, I said, y'all just now discussing that between yourselves. You should have got, the church should have got all that straightened in the very first start before y'all even started looking. I said, don't ask me, because when you ask me that, you're asking me to put a dollar sign on an individual soul. I can't do that. And I had them call me back and say, well, preacher, we decided not to call you. Says, because we can't, you won't give us a price. I can't give them a price. Like they are buying a gallon of buttermilk. You'll be surprised. Because if I'm not mistaken, each and every one of you that's here tonight, you've been here for a long time. You haven't been out here to all these other churches. And you would, if you ever went into some of these other churches, you'd be so thankful that you had this group of people. Why? Because you can get along with one another. We can have fellowship one with another. And we can have the promises that God has left us with. His promises goes all the way back from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation. There's 66 books there that we have God's promises in. So if we want a promise, and we want to see what kind of promise that we can have from God, just get in your Bible, just open your Bible up and just start reading. And I promise you, God will show you a promise. I mean, that's just like Sodom and Gomorrah. You say, what kind of promise are you getting out of that? Well, one of the promises I can see in it is that I was brought up in the time that I didn't have all of that mess going on. Yes, it was probably going on, but I didn't see it. But we're living in that day. We're living in the same day that Lot lived and Lot's wife lived in. We live in the same period of time. It may not be the exact date and way back in the time, but in what they experienced and what they went through, we're going through the same thing. They had rulers there that they didn't care anything about themselves. They didn't care anything about your husband. They didn't care anything about your wife. They didn't care anything at all about Lot. They didn't care anything at all about Lot's wife. They didn't. Do you think Washington, D.C. cares anything about my wife and my daughter? No. They don't care if they go hungry. They don't care if they wake up in the morning and it may be down here up under a bridge. They don't care. Who do they care for? They care for the people that's overseas. And don't get me wrong. I know some people overseas, they need some help. But what about right here at home? What about right here in my backyard? What about in your backyard? What about all the people that you know of that needs help? Financially, spiritually, You know, we, I'm just going to take just me and my family, me and Shelby and Christy. And just take, I'm going to just use us for instance. We, us three, in a day's time, will waste more food than a whole lot of third world countries has got. We got people right here in the city of Danville. Yes, I could help. I don't have to carry our money, but I need to help them some way or another. Help them with them food. Why? Because we're living in that time. See, we have to get back. In the book of Jeremiah, he reminds us that we need to get back to the old path. We need to get back and remembering the four seasons. Winter, spring, summer, and fall. We need to remember all of that. We need to remember from where we come from. How many of you, maybe Sister Huff and maybe a couple more of y'all may can remember. Can remember the time when people was in need and you went to their home and you took them a little food. Then what happened? The government, the president at that time come up with a welfare program to where it would benefit the people. But who's it benefiting? It's not benefiting the people, it's benefiting them in their back pockets. Is who it's benefiting. We need to remember that God created this world. Man did not create it. Man wants us to think that they did because they come up and they say, well, you see what kind of roses I got down there? Says, you know, I done took 4 or 5 different kind of roses and I kind of grafted them in together and I got all kinds of colors. You're right, sure have. Man may have grafted them. They got all kinds of colors. But man could not come up with the fragrance of the rose. Of the rose. I'm gonna tell you this and then I went a little more than what I was aiming to go. But I remember somebody telling me one time that, and it's a joke. It's a joke in a way, but really in a way it's not a joke. But it's a clean joke. But it was this lady, she was all the way, all the way
come to church. She was there on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, that holy revival. She was there. If she wasn't there, the pastor knew something was wrong. So one day she didn't show up to church. So the pastor called her and on the phone and talked to her. She says, she told him, she says, I just been under the weather a little bit. I just like for the church to pray for me. He had a word of prayer with her over the phone. She got off the phone and she was out praying by herself, nobody there but him, but her and God. And she was talking to God. She won't use no big fancy words. She was just pleading to God. She says, God, you know, within the next day, I'm not going to have no food. You know that. But Lord, I'm asking for you to touch the other people out here that don't have any today. Give them some food that they can have today. She started praising God for how good God has been to her and how much God had meant to her, saving her soul and keeping her out of the pits of hell and all of that. She talked to God. She talked to Him, seemed like it hadn't been but like 10 or 15 minutes. But she was really crying out to God for God to help the people in the community that did not have no food to eat. And Lord, and you know in the next couple of days also, unless something happens, I'm not going to have no food to eat either. But I'm asking for you to go and help them first. See, she wasn't the type of individual that she said, Lord, help me because I'm going to run out of food in the next day or two. No. So she's still crying out to God. Her next door neighbor was going to walk and walk down to the store and pick him up something. They have some bread or milk or something. And when he did, he heard a noise. And he said, she's hollering. Let me see if there's anything wrong with her. So he goes over. And he just listens. And he knows that she's just praying, talking to God. He goes down to the store. He buys his what he needed. And then he bought another bag of groceries. And he come back and he set the bag of groceries on her doorstep. And he went like this. She knocked two or three times. Then he just come off his steps. Went around the house where he could go in his back door. And saying all of that, she come to the door. She was looking around to see if she could see anybody. She couldn't see a soul. She didn't know what was happening, what was going on. So she got ready to close the door, and when she did, she
was closing the door, and she noticed that there was a bag outside of her door. She went down and looked in that bag, and she seen where she had some beans, some potatoes, some flour, and sugar, and milk, and different things like that in the bag. And she just lifting her hands up toward heaven. She says, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for sending someone my way. Thank you, Lord, for sending me what I needed. And I'm going to go and share some of this with somebody else." And about that time, the gentleman come out from around the side. And he told her, he says, "Now, here it is, you thanking God for allowing somebody to bring this up here." He says,